You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yes, hello everybody, welcome along to the William Hill Boxing Podcast with Steve Bunce, who is on the line with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio. How are you, Buncey?
I've never been better. We're about to get 30-odd thousand people in a stadium to watch some fights. That's something that we used to say about once every 5 years, and now we say it about once every 5 months. Quite crazy.
Yeah, it's always good, isn't it, in a stadium, the open air, and the usually get the big fan base coming behind, and it's going to be absolutely immense there, isn't it, this weekend? The noise and the atmosphere I'm expecting is going to be something else, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those things. You know, sometimes you go to football and there might be 62,000 people there. I'm not going to mention the club, and it sounds like, you know, there's 2,000 people. And you go to football sometimes and there's 10,000 and it sounds like there's 60,000. Well, let me tell you something. 20-odd thousand, 25,000 for Carl Frampton, Tyson Fury and Paddy Barnes at Windsor Park in Belfast. That will sound like about 500,000 people cheering for anybody else. Just think about it that way. I'm fully expecting it to be the loudest and most atmospheric night fight I've ever been at.
Yeah, it could be something else. We'll move on to those just shortly. We'll move on to the action in Belfast in a little while. Just want to quickly talk about some of the news that's broken over the last day or so with regards to Anthony Joshua. He's obviously taken on Povetkin in his next fight. But the WBO are saying that he might have to, or he's going to have a mandatory title defence of that belt as well. Just looking through who's number two challenger in that division, it's Dillian White, isn't it? So if he has a deciding fight to decide who fights Joshua, that would make a bit of a box office result, wouldn't it?
I think it's win-win-win. It seems that everybody's reluctant to give Dillian what he fully deserves. He was meant to be fighting Deontay Wilder sometime around now. If he didn't get Deontay Wilder, he had to beat Joseph Parker. He beat Joseph Parker, and there's a suggestion he'll have to beat someone else before he, in theory, gets to Joshua next April. Dillian White deserves his crack again at Anthony Joshua. They fought a couple of years ago. They were both raw. They were both novices. It was a shootout. And eventually, Anthony Joshua landed a great punch to win the fight. That was then. This is now. Dillian White deserves his chance. He shouldn't have to fight anybody else to get in that position. At about midnight on September the 22nd, assuming Joshua beats Alexander Povetkin, and that's a hard fight, it should be announced. It's Dillian White next April at Wembley. Dillian deserves it. The British fans deserve it. And I've got to be honest with you, I think with the Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder situation the way it is, I think Anthony Joshua needs that fight.
Yeah, because it doesn't look like he's going to get either of that pair anytime soon, doesn't it?
No, I mean, you know, we've been saying this for a while, that he wouldn't get Wilder. There was half a chance that Fury might jump in front of Wilder for Joshua. But irrespective of that, let's assume Fury wins on Saturday at Windsor Park. And let's assume that late at night on Saturday, it's announced that Fury's going to fight Wilder, probably in America in November or December. That means both of those two, no matter how that fight pans out, will be excluded from an April fight. I'm convinced of it, because let's say Fury wins, then he can start calling the shots. And if Wilder wins and wins in style, then he can start demanding more. Either way, Joshua will look at other options, and that other option, I really believe, will be quite simple. I think it'll be Dillian White.
Yeah, just maybe getting ahead of myself a little bit, but
you're allowed to.
Yeah, should those two fight? Should Fury and Wilder fight, and then Joshua goes on and beats White again? Then you've got a mega fight coming up between the winner of those two, haven't you?
Absolutely, you've got some kind of sensational fight in theory next year, but between that happening, the winner of Wilder and Fury needs to be conclusive. What if it's tricky? What if it's a lucky punch? What if one of them gets stopped on a cut? What if it's controversial? That's a natural instant rematch. What if Joshua gets beat by Povetkin? Everyone seems to be overlooking Povetkin, and I don't know why. I like him. He's got a bit of a checkered past, but I like him. He's a dangerous fighter. Plus, everybody he fights is taller than him and bigger than him, and he seems to overcome them. He's only been beat by Vladimir Klitschko in an absolute shootout. There's an awful lot of what ifs and ifs have to happen, and what if this happened. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, but you're absolutely right. At some point late next year, or in something like May or April of 20, 20, we hopefully will get Joshua against either Wilder or Fury. Who knows? They could all have lost by then, and there'll still be round robins of fights. They'll still be popular. People won't stop going to watch Joshua if he loses. They won't stop going to watch Wilder or Fury if they start losing. We've got 2 to 4 years of these guys. That's assuming they all keep losing, which of course they can't, because someone has to win if someone loses.
That's the maths of it.
Of course.
Yeah, we've got all that to look forward to. Joshua's next fight, of course, is on the 22nd of September when he takes on Povetkin, and we'll get Bunty's thoughts on that a little bit closer to the time. We do have some good boxing to look forward to this weekend, though. We've got some star names in action, Tyson Fury and Carl Frampton both on the bill. But we've also got a fella called Paddy Barnes, who I must admit isn't the biggest name in England or whatever, but he's a huge name in Northern Ireland. He takes on Christopher Rosales, who's 4-9 to win the fight. The draw is 20-1, and Paddy Barnes is 7-4. This is for the WBC World Flyweight title. His career record, Paddy Barnes, reads 5-0, but it goes much deeper than that, doesn't it, Bunty? Because his amateur record, including at the Olympics, is something else, and he's already a hero in Northern Ireland before he even takes his fight.
Yeah, he's a cult figure here in Northern Ireland, and what they're talking about one of the lines they use on radio over here, and I've done quite a bit of BBC since I've been over here, is they talk about we might be seeing one of the greatest Irish fighters this weekend, and I don't mean Carl Frampton. If Paddy Barnes pulls this off, and it'll only be 6 professional fights, against the guy who is considered the best flyweight in the world, even though he does have a few defeats on his record, it would put Paddy Barnes in elite company. And Paddy Barnes, even though he's only had 5 professional fights, he's been at 3 Olympics. He has 2 bronze medals. He's been at Commonwealth Games. He's got 2 Commonwealth Games gold medals. He's been at the World Championships, the European Championships, and more than that, he fought in something called the World Series of Boxing, the WSB. Now, in the WSB, you fight over 5 rounds of 3 minutes. It's a kind of hybrid between so-called amateur boxing and professional boxing. So don't be deceived by the lack of professional fights Paddy Barnes has had. He's seasoned. He's not a boy. He's a man. And it's a big ask, don't get me wrong, but the reason why you take fights like this and you take a risk like this is there's 2 reasons why you take a fight like this. First is you get him paid a fortune. He's not. The second is you want to grasp at and grab at your dream, and you want that in front of your home crowd. 25,000 people screaming his name, willing him on, and he might need them. I see it being hard. I see it being tight. And if we go into round 7, 8, or 9, if we get into the last 3 or 4 rounds, I think Barnes can win on points over the longer distance, right at the very end. But you have to fancy Rosales. No wonder the bookies fancy him. You have to fancy him in the last 3 or 4 rounds. But if Paddy Barnes can have enough left going into about round 7 or 8, then he could hold on for a decision. It's a real tight fight. It's a hard fight. It's a genuine fight. It's a great fight.
Yeah, I dare say that if he goes on to win, that might be the biggest reception we get all night.
Oh, without a doubt, you know, we're going to come to Carl Frampton and Tyson Fury in a moment, but this is, let's not beat around the bush. This is the real fight, the hard fight on the card.
If I were to ask you to put your money on it then, if you had to pick a way that it turned out, what would you go with in that fight?
I'd have to go with Rosales late.
Okay, so Rosales on decision, or on points in the end.
Or knock stoppage him out. Very late, yeah. in the last 4 rounds.
Right, okay.
It all depends how Paddy is when he comes out for round 8, in my opinion. Well, if he's sharp and fresh and in front, he'll hold on. If Rosales is clawing back and Paddy's struggling, then it'll be bad.
Okay. Round 7-12 for Rosales to win is 5-2, by the way. So back end of the fight, if you think he gets to him. That could be the win, and a decent price as well at 5-2 there, considering that he's overwhelming favourite at 4-9 in the bout betting. Let's move on to Tyson Fury next, in the character that is Tyson Fury. He's heavily odds on to win against Francesco Pianetta. He's 66-1 on. The draw is 33-1, and Pianetta is 14-1. We've obviously seen Tyson Fury make his return. He won on his return as well. And this is his second fight since coming back from that long absence. He looks to be in great nick as well. This is arguably the best shape we've seen Tyson Fury in certainly for a long time, maybe ever.
Well, listen, you know, we might be getting close to seeing him in the best shape ever. You're right. I'm not sure if that'll be the case tomorrow night. I think he's on his way there. He looks like he'll be a stone lighter than he was back in June when he finished his exile. And this is really an exercise in judging just how far he's moved on from that June night, where he didn't look very comfortable, he didn't look very happy. He won it without breaking a sweat, but there were some signs there that he still had a lot of work to do in the gym. His timing was bad, and he was missing with punches, and he just wasn't really concentrating. We're promised we're going to see a slightly more focused, or a lot more focused, a thinner, a faster, and a more fierce Tyson Fury. That's what the Fury man is offering, and I tend to agree with him. And Pianetta's perfect. He's got a decent enough chin. He's solid. He's been at top level before, and he's lost. But you know what? He's a great measuring stick. Fury wins, and let's hope he doesn't play around. Let's hope he gets it done a bit quicker. Deontay Wilder, the WBC champion, will be ringside, and I think Fury will want to send him a message. Plus, there's nothing 25,000 people like more than a big lad smashing up another big lad. It gets them going. So I don't think we're going to get 6 or 7 drab rounds. I think we might see a sharp, fast, and nastier Fury. I think he does it inside about 5 or 6.
Okay, so to get it done early then, we do have an enhanced odds market on Tyson Fury to win in rounds 1-3. That was 7-2. That is now 4-1, so we've pushed out the price.
I like that, because there's just a chance he might come out guns blazing in the first round, throw 30 punches, drop Pianetta. I mean, it could be inside 2 minutes. So I actually like that 1-3. But if he settles down for a round or two, he'll get it done by about 6. But he could come out fast. He's promising to come out fast, and I actually believe him.
Okay, if you fancy Fury with a few more rounds on your side as well, him to win in rounds 1-5 is also a market on there. That is 6-5. Considering that he's 66-1 on, if you think he'll get it done early, that could be a pretty tempting way into the fight there. I just want to ask I just want to ask you a few other things about the old Fury situation. You mentioned that Deontay Wilder is going to be ringside. Are we going to see maybe a bit of... Do you think he'll try and showboat a little bit, or do you think he'll just try and do it with pure, I'm going to blitz this guy and I'm coming for you kind of idea?
No, I mean, he's not only going to be ringside. Showtime in America are screening it, and it's Showtime's money that's going to really help get this fight made, Wilder and Fury. So he needs to look good. He can't chug and hold his way with an opponent who's going to look a bit chubby. He's got to get in there and do the business, and he'll send a message. So that's why I fancy he might just, you know, try and make a statement. It will suit him to make a statement. And make, you know, and that we can send a message to Wilder. It's no good if Wilder and Fury are having a screaming pantomime match in the ring if we've had to witness 8 or 9 rounds of him clutching and grabbing someone. You know what I'm saying? Whereas if he can knock someone out, jump on someone, then you call up Wilder. Hey ho, it's pantomime, it's glorious, it's fantastic. It's what we love.
It would be great to see, wouldn't it? He goes and knocks Pianetta out in unbelievable fashion. Wilder gets in the ring, they have a face-off and all that. It'd be pretty
perfect,
pretty entertaining stuff. Just one other thing I want to ask you about Tyson Fury. Obviously, he's changed trainer recently. Start of the year, he's now trained by Ben Davison, who a lot of people don't seem to have warmed to him. His reputation isn't really taking off. Is that an issue for Tyson Fury?
No, well, not at the moment. It's not, because they've not had to worry about anything. But Ben Davison is very inexperienced. He's raw. He's a novice, you know, in boxing terms. He's an absolute novice. But they have a relationship that works. And sometimes, especially with heavyweight, if you have a relationship that works, if the trainer and the fighter gel, sometimes that's more important than experience. However, you know, we don't even know what would happen if Tyson were cut. That Ben's never been in the corner when someone's been cut. How does he respond? How does he make way for the cuts man to get in and do his work? It seems like that you only find out how you react through experience, and he hasn't yet. But it won't be this fight. Against Wilder, hey-ho, who knows what would happen? Ben's never had to worry about a fighter limping back to the corner in round 8 when he's exhausted, having just been knocked down. He doesn't know what he's going to do then, because he's never been in that situation. That's about experience. So right now it's working fine, and all we can say is it's good for both of them. They seem happy. When it gets serious, then we might have to start readjusting what, you know, what we say, and reevaluating the situation. Right now, it's working fine.
Just confirming the bet, Tyson Fury to win and win early is the idea for Bunce in that one. We can now hear from the man himself. Tyson Fury spoke to the guys at IFL TV, and we can get the heavyweight's thoughts ahead of his fight on Saturday night.
I'm only interested in the Italian German who's coming to knock me out. Once highly touted, Emmanuel Stewart said he'd be a world heavyweight champion. He's been off the rails a bit. He's had a couple of losses in his last few fights, so you never know, he could rise to the occasion. I usually bring the best out of every fighter I've ever faced, because they know if they can beat me, they can cash a lottery check. And if he beats me, he'd become the lineal heavyweight champion of the world. The man that beat the man that beat the man, so the money will be big. So I'm expecting the best peanut there's ever been. It won't be a problem or an issue to take his big right hand. Right in the chin. Right in the noggin, knocked out of it.
And then we move on to the main event of the night. Carl Frampton against Luke Jackson. Frampton is 66-1 on as well. The draw 33-1. And Luke Jackson is 14-1. Obviously, we saw Frampton get beat by Leo Santa Cruz a few fights ago. He's since beat Horacio Garcia and Anito Donaire. Whereabouts is Carl Frampton now at this point in your mind?
Carl's in a really happy, stable, perfect place at the moment. He's fighting an unbeaten Australian who will prove a bit of a test and a handful for several rounds until Carl breaks him down. Perfect fight, because what Carl's waiting for, he's treading water for, are several things. One is a potential third fight with Leo Santa Cruz. They're currently one each. But the big thing, and I think we might hear some news about this on Saturday, it will be a showdown, possibly in November or December, either in London or Manchester, against Josh Warrington. Josh Warrington, we're expecting at ringside here. Of course, he won the IBF featherweight title, Ellen Road, a couple of months ago in a really glorious, emotional, fantastic night. And my gut feeling is that Carl Frampton and Josh Warrington will fight each other later in the year for plenty of money and for plenty of excitement. That's what I think is being set up here. And Luke Jackson just finds himself, he's going for gold. As Luke Jackson said to me the other day, if I win this fight, my life changes and I get Carl Frampton's life. And that life, as Luke said, includes big houses and nice cars. Luke's motivated by all the right things, but Frampton is an elite level fighter. He'll be too good for Jackson. He'll get to him because Jackson will really have a go and that will suit Frampton down to the ground. We might see Frampton doing something quite quick here and quite nasty. We haven't seen that for a very long time.
We've got Frampton rounds 1-3 at 6-1 and rounds 1-6 at 15-8. Are those the kind of markets you'd be looking at here?
Yeah, I'm thinking a good few rounds because it'll take a bit to get the fight out of Luke, but I'm certainly fancying it by about six rounds. Both him and Tyson Fury, I think I'd be surprised if we go into the seventh round with either of those two fights.
Okay. What about the pressure on Carl Frampton? There's been talk, a little bit surprisingly, about him possibly retiring should he lose this. I think that might be a little bit early, maybe, perhaps, to say that. But there is a lot of pressure on him in front of a home crowd at a stadium. He's going to feel the heat a little bit, isn't he?
There's immense pressure, and he doesn't know what's going to happen because he's never walked out in front of 25,000 people at Windsor Park. So it's all very well saying, I'm going to handle the pressure. I'm used to it. No, you're not. No, he's not. He's never been there. So that's one thing. He's walking into the unknown. There is pressure. But I'll tell you what, Paddy Barnes's uphill struggle and Tyson Fury's presence, they've eased the pressure slightly on Carl Frampton. They've taken a bit of weight off his shoulders. Those two are attractions as well. So it's not just the Carl Frampton show. It's very much the Carl Frampton show with leading starring roles from Paddy Barnes and Tyson Fury. So that's helped. And as for retiring if he loses, well, in all fairness, if he were to lose on a cut or lose on a decision or get stopped, then it's a brilliant rematch. Don't worry about that.
I would quite like to see him win, though, and go and fight Josh Warrington, because I think that would be huge as well. So I'm getting ahead of myself again, Bunty, but we've got some potential.
This podcast has got ahead of itself from the very start.
A lot of talk of pressure and a lot of talk of potential retirement as well for Carl Frampton. I wonder what he makes of it. Well, he caught up with the guys at IFL TV so we could get his thoughts.
There's loads of pressure and it's all on me. I don't think there's any pressure on Luke Jackson. People are expecting me to win. The bookies are expecting me to win. The fans are expecting me to win. That in itself brings a certain amount of pressure. But I believe I perform better in them pressurized situations. I've done it throughout my career before. And I believe when I've had the shine and turn it on, I can do it. I'm due a stoppage. I haven't stopped anyone in quite a while. And I think Luke Jackson, he's there to be hit. I think I'll get rid of him. It's going to be an absolutely huge night. And I think that the atmosphere always created at the football stadium. Northern Ireland could be getting beat 4-0 and they're still singing, the fans. The most passionate, loudest fans in the world. That's 19,000 of them in a full football stadium. You put an extra four on a pitch, I think it's going to be special.
I've been putting together a little bit of an acro on what you've been saying as we've been going along. So Christopher Rosales to win rounds 7-12, so to get the job done relatively late against Paddy Barnes. Tyson Fury to win in rounds 1-5 and Carl Frampton to win in rounds 1-6. Put all that together, Buncey, and we're talking 21-1.
Oi, 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 amigo. That's not bad, is it?
Nah, I like that. I like that. Good stuff. Been a pleasure as always, Buncey. Enjoy this weekend and we'll speak to you again ahead of the next big fights.
Thanks very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.